This week on Midwest Week, a wrap-up of one of the best seasons ever for minor league baseball in the Quad Cities. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest is Steve Batterson, sports reporter for the Quad City Times. So, Steve, starting us off, how many years have you been covering minor league baseball in the Quad Cities?
This was my 31st season, yeah. I haven't been able to work my way above the low Class A level, I guess. But
haven't been reassigned just
no,
yet.
No, not yet.
And how many team names have there been in 31 years?
They've been the Angels, the Quad City Angels, mm-hmm. the Quad City River Bandits, that's the Swing of the Quad Swing Cities, and now the Quad Cities River Bandits.
Okay, so, but never the Cubs during those.
No, I arrived shortly after the Cubs.
Okay. On the field, why was this such a good year for the River Bandits?
This was a team that had success early. It did a lot of things right in terms of developing players, moving them up, winning games. First and foremost, it was able to put together two 12-game win streaks, which are extremely rare at this level. There's a reason these guys are competing at the Class A level, and a lot of that has to do with the inconsistency of play. And to be able to put together not one but two 12-game win streaks, one in the first half and then one in the second half with almost an entirely different group of players, a pretty impressive job, and it speaks to the talent within the team and also within the job done by the coaching staff this year.
So how much turnover was there? I mean, in a normal year, there's a lot of turnover, right?
Yeah, you're usually going to get quite a bit of turnover at the A level, but this year was a little extraordinary. Quad Cities had 37 pitchers appear in games, which is a franchise record. They had 20 pitchers start games, which was also the most that has ever happened. A total of 61 players took the field this year for Quad Cities, which is also a franchise record in a 56-year history. So it tells you how unique this team was. There was a lot of movement, and it was movement up, which you can move one of two ways when you're at this level, and for the most part, with very few exceptions, this team sent its players on to the next level, and a couple of guys actually made it up to the Double-A level by the end of the season.
So the Astros have been picking good players and sending them to the River Bandits?
Yeah, it's a byproduct of their scouting and identifying talent, not only within the continental U.S., but also their ability to sign international players and develop them, whether it be at their training complex in the Dominican Republic or just through their other scouting around the globe. They've been able to sign some guys who are certainly capable of competing at this level. And we've seen three guys who played here 2 years ago play in the major leagues this season. Carlos Correa is a strong candidate for American League Rookie of the Year honors with his play at shortstop for Houston. And two pitchers from that 2013 team that won the league championship, Lance McCullers and Vince Velasquez, are also guys who have pitched at the big league level this season. So it's a pretty rapid rise, but it also speaks to the talent that Houston has been able to sign, in part because of the lack of success that they've had at the major league level. They get the high draft picks.
Okay, all right. Now, you've covered a lot of coaches in all these 31 years, Steve. How much credit should we give to Josh Bonifay for this year?
Yeah, I think Josh Bonifay did a wonderful job of meshing talent, along with, be remiss if I didn't bring up Dave Borkowski, the pitching coach, who had to juggle those 37 pitchers, much less learn their names. And there were guys that he had not seen even in spring training that came through here at some point this season. To be able to do that and to be able to have those guys continue to succeed at a pretty high level speaks to the job that they did in the clubhouse of keeping things in an atmosphere where guys were continually learning, guys who were coming in would see the success that guys were having and the expectations and adjust their games to go out and try to match what they were seeing from their teammates. And that mindset worked. This was Josh Bonifay's first season at the full season level as well as a manager. He came here from Greenville, a short season team in the Appalachian League. So this was kind of his first full season test, 140 games. He certainly had played at that level before. Mm-hmm. Managing it's kind of a different beast with a clubhouse full of all sorts of people.
So after all of that, Steve, the River Bandits didn't last very long in the playoffs, so what happened?
It was an early exit, yeah, two-game exit, actually, yes. Which is as brief as it can be. It can be. What happened, the River Bandits committed more errors probably in those two games than they had in a number of strings of games over the course of the season. This is a pretty solid defensive team, and they had two very poor defensive games, and you can't do that at this time of year against an opponent in Cedar Rapids that was playing good baseball as well. It was a team Quad Cities had a 9-4 record against during the regular season, but they'd also won 6-1 run games against the Colonels during the season too, which tells you that teams were fairly evenly matched, mm-hmm. and Quad Cities found ways to win early on that just didn't materialize once it got to the postseason.
Okay, so now off the field, it was also very successful, and why was that?
Good weather always helps. Good team certainly helps as well.
Improvements to the field from years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a nice job of marketing their team to the local community. They drew just over 250,000 people. The average per game, there were six rainouts, was around 3,900, mm-hmm. which was a franchise record. It shows you the Quad City people. One, they appreciate good baseball. They certainly had a chance to see that this summer. And they also enjoy a family atmosphere and having a chance to come out and do things together. And I think the local franchise has done a really nice job of marketing themselves in that fashion that it is a place to be, if you want to sit and watch baseball, or if mm-hmm. you want to, take a spin on the Ferris wheel or hop into a bumper car. Those things are available once you get through the gates.
Now, one of the owners many years ago that you and I remember, Rick Holtzman, always said that it didn't really matter if the team won or not. It was the fan experience. Do you think attendance would have been just as high without the zip line and Ferris wheel?
I think people have come to expect a few extras with their admission fee, and those situations I think help bring people to the ballpark. I don't necessarily believe that the product on the field, it has a great deal to do with how many people come through the gates, but I do believe that winning certainly is better than being on the other end of the equation. This team won 88 games out of the 138 it played during the regular season, so it was a pretty good baseball team. If they had won 50 of those games, if the record was flipped, if they were 50-88, they're probably, some of those baseball people probably would have shied away a little bit.
But still, other people would have come out for the dollar nights and all of those things.
Absolutely. It's all about, it's about the marketing and creating environments for different crowds on different nights, whether it be a giveaway or a discount beverages or, what have you. People will, they'll find their way to the ballpark to be with their peers on, whenever something that spikes their interest is available. Sergeant mm-hmm. Slaughter, the famed pro wrestler, made an appearance during a game this season. That attracted a number of people that, wanted to come out to the ballpark and have a chance for a meet and greet with a pro wrestling legend. And they provide those kind of experiences, and they do that every year. And that's something that has allowed attendance to kind of grow and continue to be strong in the Quad Cities.
And what about those diversions like the zip line and the Ferris wheel? Are they used a lot during the game, or are they mainly sort of a before and after thing?
The Ferris wheel is kind of a constant. Mm-hmm. From our perch in the press box, you can see it moving fairly regularly. And I think what people have found is not only is it a good view before the game, but it's kind of a different view of the action on the field. And whether it be families wanting to maybe take a break from the baseball, mm-hmm. or just simply people down there experiencing it for the first time, it's something that makes a difference.